As you can see on the screen, this summer we're focusing on a series called Summer in the Psalms, and we've been looking at a number of different psalms. And as Maria mentioned, this morning we're focusing on another psalm, Psalm 121. Some of the words we already sang in the song, but listen then to the words from Scripture from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And so far then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, in many ways, we live in a society that's always on the go. It's amazing how many kilometers we can travel in a year. We think nothing of driving a couple of hours to see friends or family for a day or maybe to attend a sports event. And some of us, we make short trips into town almost on a daily basis. And then there's the long trips that we take for vacation. And imagine in all that, imagine what it would be like to live without the convenience of having a vehicle. Life was like that, say, maybe some 100 years ago. We consider going to Florida or maybe a trip out east or out west as a big trip, but not that many years ago. A trip to Toronto or maybe a trip to London, well, that was considered to be quite a trip in those days. People rarely traveled beyond their own village. If they went anywhere, it was usually by horse or horse and buggy or walking by foot. What a different style of living, although in many ways we see some of that with some of the Mennonites and the Amish around here. And that's what life was like in Bible times. The Old Testament Israelites, they rarely traveled beyond their own village. They only traveled to go to Jerusalem for the Passover or some other religious feast. And they couldn't just jump in the car and motor down the freeway like we do today. People traveled by foot along narrow dirt paths throughout the countryside. Unless our travels are interrupted by a traffic jam or bad weather or road construction, we can usually count on good traveling conditions. We even talk about distances in terms of, well, we'll be there in an hour or 3 hours. That's how we talk about our traveling conditions today. But in Bible times, they could never predict traveling conditions. They had to be aware of stepping in a rut or a loose stone or getting injured somehow. A person walking for days under a hot sun could suffer from sunstroke. Traveling long distances under the pressure of fatigue or anxiety could even cause mental illness, described as moonstroke by ancient writers. That's why Psalm 121 talks about not being harmed by the moon at night. And then there was the danger of maybe being attacked along the way, leading people often to travel in groups. And as they traveled along as groups, invariably, to pass the time, they would sing traveling songs. Traveling songs often to express their faith and their trust in God. Our reading from Psalm 121 is an example of that. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord watches over us. The The Lord keeps us from all harm in our coming and going at all times and places. Now, when we read that, when we read a psalm like that, Psalm 121, it seems to give the impression that when we give ourselves over to God's watchful eye, then we will never experience any kind of worries. We'll never have to worry about any kind of harm in our lives. God will always protect us. And some people will take a passage like this and they conclude that when we become a Christian, well, then we'll never have any problems in this life. Just say no to the world and say yes to Jesus, and all your questions, all your troubles will be solved. Nothing will disturb the enjoyable relationship that we can have by faith in Jesus. Christians are seen as a privileged people and who will not experience any kind of accidents or trouble in their families. And if any kind of trouble does happen, well, obviously then there's something wrong with your relationship with God. Obviously God has withdrawn his protection because of your fickle faith. Is that what you believe? Well, let me tell you, you shouldn't believe that, because that's not the view of the Bible. Our Christian faith is not an insurance policy insulating us from all kinds of trouble in our lives. As Eugene Peterson says, when we plunge into the river of the Christian faith, we can still get our noses full of water and come up coughing and choking. A disease can invade our bodies and leave us with a crippling pain or fear of death. An accident in a car or from a stepladder can, without warning, interrupt our carefully laid out plans. We can take precautions by learning safety rules. We can fashion our seat belts. We can take out insurance policies. But, says Peterson, that doesn't guarantee our sense of security. And yet somehow, we expect that the journey of faith should just not be that difficult for us, right? I mean, isn't that what the Bible tells us? Isn't that what this Psalm from 121 that we just read, isn't that what it tells us? That the Lord will keep us from all harm, that he watches over our comings and goings, and why then still all the hardships of life? As Israel walked along the pathways to Jerusalem with the continual threat of danger, they would lift their eyes up to the hills and they would ask, "Where does my help come from?" And when we look at the sturdiness of the hills, that can give us a sense of security. But the Old Testament Israelites, when they looked at the hills, They also could see something else. You see, when this psalm was written, there was a lot of pagan worship in the land of Israel, and much of this religion was practiced on the hilltops. And religious shrines were set up, and these religious shrines would supposedly enhance the fertility of the land and protect them from evil. Are you going to travel? Go to the shrine and learn about the magic formula to ward off trouble. Afraid of the sun's heat? Go to the sun priest and pay for protection against the sun god. Afraid of the malign influence of the moon? Go to the moon priest. And legends of the god of Baal in those days tell of orgies and the difficulty of waking him from his drunken sleep. That's why when we read in the Bible in 1 Kings 4, we can read how the prophet Elijah taunts the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel. Elijah says to the people, "Maybe Baal is asleep. Maybe you just need to make some noise and maybe you'll just wake him up." That's what the Israelite travelers would have visualized on the hills. But the faithful Israelites, those who remained faithful to God, would lift up their eyes to the hills and they would see only the empty promises of help. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. As Jeremiah 3, verse 23 says, surely the idolatrous commotion on the hills and mountains is a deception. Surely in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Our true source of help in the journey of life, says Psalm 121, is the maker of heaven and earth. Baal, the god of Baal, took long naps and needed to be woken up by the priests. But Psalm 121 says that our creator God, the maker of heaven and earth, he is a God that never sleeps. He keeps his eye on us 24/7. The Lord keeps us from all evil. He watches over each step of the journey of our life. Now, that's not to say that this psalm doesn't promise a cozy life that in which we'll never stub our toes. There's no suggestion here that our faith exempts us from all trouble. But it does promise that no illness, no accident or distress will ever separate us from God's purposes in our lives. In the New International Version of the Bible, a variation of "the Lord watches over you" is actually repeated 5 times in Psalm 121. And it literally means, in the original language, it literally means "the Lord is your keeper." In those days, that might have evoked the notion of a jailkeeper literally tied to a prisoner to keep watch over him. But Psalm 121 says, "The Lord watches over us like that of the shade of a shadow that never goes away on a sunny day." Life can have its dangers and hardships, but God promises to be our ever-present help in trouble, says Psalm 46. Verse 10. And that, my friends, that's our hope. That's our comfort for this life. Not that life is without trouble, but that God stands with us in the hardships and the temptations of this life. It's interesting, in the Lord's Prayer that many of us know and maybe often will pray, it's interesting there, Jesus doesn't teach us to pray that God will keep us from all hardship. Instead, in Matthew 6, verse 13, he teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And that prayer is answered each day for us as God's people of faith. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul affirms that in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, where it says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to us all. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Also in the Bible, in Romans 8 encourages us that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from God's love for us in Jesus. And that's really what this psalm then means when it says, "The Lord will keep you from all evil." Now, when we make plans for a long trip, most of us will plan out the destination, and most of us will try to figure out approximately when it is that we'll try to get there. Sometimes our plans will change. Sometimes our plans change because of an unforeseen delay or breakdown. And we need to make adjustments accordingly. And so in life, it's impossible for us to predict what will happen in the next 5 or 10 years, or even in the next week or the next month. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know if there's going to be smooth sailing or whether there's going to be storms on the horizon. But either way, it helps to know where our help comes from. You see, sometimes we can get so busy with our daily living that we fail to even notice the needs of other people around us. But guess what? Our God is never too busy for us. Our God is never too busy for us in our time of need. Unlike a parent who can't always keep their eye on a child to keep her from danger, God never shifts his attention from those of us who trust in him. In fact, we can take the assurance that in the struggles of our lives, even though we sometimes can wrongly assume that God somehow forgets us and leaves us to fend for ourselves, we need to remind ourselves that we serve a God that never falls asleep on us. In fact, God is a God who often uses the conflicts and hardships of our lives to remind us that we can't put our trust in the false securities of this world. God wants us to renew our trust in him each and every day, to trust that God will be with us even in the deepest struggles, even in the deepest valleys of our lives. Now, the people of Israel, in the times of when this psalm was written, they should have known that. They should have known from the great stories of the Old Testament of God's watchful care throughout their history. When God led them out of Egypt into the desert, God knew that they would be frightened and alone. They were camping in a place with wild animals, with little food or water. They had no army, no walls to protect them. They didn't even know the way to the promised land. Sure, they still knew that they were God's people. God had promised to protect them. But still, at times, it was hard for them to feel or to experience God's presence. So what did God do for the people of Israel in those days? God gave them a visible sign of his presence. In Exodus 13, verse 21 says, "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and at night, in a pillar of fire to give them light." And so when the people of Israel were afraid in those days, all they had to do was look up to that pillar of cloud to remind them of God's presence among them. Later, God reminded Israel that he was watching over them continually through his presence in the tabernacle that accompanied them on each part of the journey towards the promised land. And later, the glory of God was in a cloud that came to rest over the ark in the temple. In all those ways, God was reminding Israel of his presence among his people on the journey of life. But the fullness of God's presence was still to come in the future. The New Testament talks about God revealing his presence to us in his Son Jesus, who is called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. John 1 verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling, made his presence among us." God, the maker of heaven and earth, put on human flesh, and he actually came to live among us as his people. Jesus came to this earth to die on a cross, to win the victory over the evil one. And that, my friends, is our assurance that God keeps us from all evil in all our troubles of life. And yet sometimes the difficulty for us is that none of us have ever seen Jesus in person, right? Sometimes it's hard to know for sure that Jesus is actually present with us, that Jesus is actually present to watch over us. Hence Jesus' promise in John 14, verse 16 and 17, where Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and I will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And on the day of Pentecost, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to live among us. And since then, every believer, every one of us has this strong sign of God's presence among us and within us. And the moment that we embrace Jesus as Savior to become one of God's children, God not only cleanses us from our sin, but God simultaneously fills us with his Holy Spirit to give us a nonstop assurance of his presence in our lives. God's Spirit actually lives within our hearts to assure us that God is present with us wherever we go. At work, at school. Yeah, that's starting in a couple weeks. God is present with us at home, in our car, on the tractor, wherever we are, wherever we're going. God is always right there with us to watch over us, to guide us. Not with our human companions. Our human companions, sometimes they move away, fade away, and sadly, even sometimes they die. Because our human companions, they're not always that dependable. They don't always understand the struggles that we're going through in our lives. But the Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 15, that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, meaning that Jesus understands us completely in all of the struggles of this life. And as I said earlier, nowhere in the Bible does God ever promise to separate us from hardship, trials, or disappointments in this life. But God does promise that he will always remain faithful to us. God never falls asleep. He's never on coffee break in our time of need. He's our ever-present help, enabling us to face every storm of life with confidence. But there's only one catch to this round-the-clock protection that God promises us. That we need to lift up our eyes to the Lord. It's so simple, and yet sometimes so difficult for us. I mean, I think many of us know from experience that it's usually not as hard for us to look for God's help and God's guiding hand when we go through some rough times in our lives. Then we automatically lift our eyes up to God. Then we have no choice but to look up for some outside help. But when life is a breeze, when life is clear sailing, and we just tend to keep our eyes on a horizontal level. And sometimes before we know it, we find ourselves falling flat on our faces. And then again, we're forced to look up and to look to God as our help in our lives. Now when we walk in the dark in a place that we don't know that well, it helps to have a flashlight, right? It helps to have a flashlight to shed light on our paths so we don't trip and fall. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." And that then is another way that God watches over us in our lifelong journey within this world. God gives us his word, the Bible, as a roadmap to keep us from making wrong turns in the highway of life. And I think we know that from human experience here in this world. When we set out on a long trip in unfamiliar territory, and we do that without a road map or without a GPS as we do in today's world, the chances are that, you know, sometimes we're going to make a wrong turn. Chances are sometimes we're even going to get lost. But as we journey through this life, we need to also look to the roadmap of God's word. Because without this roadmap of God's guiding hand, we'll never lose sight of God. God's guidance in our lives. We'll always have the assurance of God's presence because the Bible always points us to Jesus, who keeps us from all evil. And in response to this assurance of God's presence in our lives, God appoints us to be agents of his presence in the lives of other people around us. You see, God often shows his love and his care for us through other people. That's why he places us within the church. God wants us to care for each other. But God wants us to not only experience the care of other people. God wants us to look to people around us, to see other people around us who also need to experience God's presence and God's help in the way that we serve them in the name of Jesus. In fact, God calls us to be our brother and sister's keeper. God calls us to watch over each other, just as God is our keeper, just as God cares for us and watches over us in our coming and going both now and forevermore. So may God use us in that way also to be the presence of Jesus in each other's lives. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for assuring us that there's never a moment in our lives that we can be that you are not aware of our needs and our concerns in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you promise that you will always provide for our daily needs, no matter what happens to us. We admit, Lord God, that sometimes we find it hard to believe that, especially when the struggles of life threaten to overwhelm us. And thank you then for your word. Thank you then for the gift of your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to encourage us that you are still always in control, that you continue to work out your purposes in our lives. We thank you also for the way that you use other people to encourage us and to support us in our times of struggle. And help us, Lord, to be the kind of church where we truly support each other in our mutual struggles of life. And may it be, Lord God, that people around us in our community can see in the way that we love each other, in the way that we encourage each other, that we are true followers of Jesus, in the way that we show our commitment to each other. Lord, help us to be the presence of Jesus amongst each other. Help us also to be the presence of Jesus among the people of this community who don't live with that assurance. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.